with me. Jesus, we thank you so much for you. God, we pray in our lives truly that you would be magnified through the way that we live, through the way that we love, through the way that we worship, that we serve. God, that people would see us in you. Lord, our world needs it. Our world needs Jesus. And may we, as your church, may we go out and tell them about you through our actions, through our words. God, would you change whatever is in us that does not look like you so that we can look like you and be attractive to a world that needs you? Because, Jesus, we need you. We always have, we always will. So, Lord, continue to do a work in us so that we may be used and you may be magnified and receive all glory and honor. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You guys can be seated. Well, we're so glad that you guys are here this morning with us. And if you're watching at home online, man, we're pumped that you're here too. It is an honor to worship with you this morning. We're going to continue. This is a time and service where we would continue to worship by giving. And you can still do that. You can do that online on your phone. And as you, those of us who are here today, as you leave, there are boxes in the back where you can give. But when you give, it is an opportunity for us, for you to partner with us as we go out and we serve the community. I love a church where I know when I give, I know where that we are going to give and we're going to go out into a world and we're going to help people. We've been doing food pantries, and even in this time where people have been desperate and in need, we've been able to help and to serve and to give and to come alongside of families. And so when you partner with a church, you're partnering with what Christ is doing in this community and all over the world. And so thank you for continuing to give as you have. And if this is your first time, whether you're watching in this room or you're watching online, man, we're so pumped that you're here today. You can text the number 817-755-1668. You can text that number, welcome, and we will follow up with you. And we want to get to know you and serve you and your family. And we're so glad to be here this week with you. We're going to continue in our series, Hero Maker. Bill did an awesome job last week. We're going to continue that today, Hero Maker Week 2. But as we continue that, before we do, why don't you guys take a look at this video?
Hi, I'm Dane Johnson, head football coach, Saginaw High School, athletic coordinator, and I want to share with you my hero-making story. When I started coaching and being involved in this profession and was led into it, my biggest thing was the impact on kids. You know, what can we do? How can I have an influence on these guys way beyond just the football field? And I learned it from different head coaches that I had and the head coaches that coached me and just the impact they had on my life. I mean, everything I think of, the way I grocery shop, to the way I mow the yard, the way I run the program the way I do, the way I taught, the way I am within relationships, is all influenced by my coaches. And so I just kind of have the same impact on the players that I have. And it's changed and evolved as the times have gone on, because there's so much out there that can influence them and penetrate them and pull them and drag them in another direction. And so really what it came down to, what I want my players, after we spent all that time on the football field and practice field and the weight room and running and sharing bread together and just the good and the bad times, what I've always wanted them to come away with is two things. One is to learn what commitment is. You know, that's the one big impact, the characteristic trait. I want them to learn how to commit and see things fall through. I think no matter how different, doesn't matter how different your culture is or your upbringing is or whatever it is, commitment's always the same. The other thing I've always wanted the kids to learn that have played for me, what I hope that they would learn, is just work ethic. How to be the hardest worker in anything that they're doing, whether they want to do it or not. You know, put a lot of emphasis, you know, most of the athletes don't like going to school. They like going to school. They don't like all the schoolwork. And so we talk about that, man. Let's make the things that we don't like the most, let's be the hardest worker in those. And those are really the two characteristics that I've gone through that I'd really, really would like to have an impact on kids and have them see that. And then hopefully learn a little about that through their lives. I think that's the two things, they're just unchanging, no matter what culture I am, or how diverse they are. Those are two things that they can always be successful on and just become the most they can be. Coaching for me is not a job, it's a way of life. It's a full-time ministry that you just jump into. in every aspect. When you get a chance to be a coach and a teacher, you're just so involved in other people's lives. Just a great chance to be a servant leader. And that's what I really enjoy about it. It's not necessarily about the wins and losses, even though I love to win maybe way more than I like to lose. But it's just about the process going there. It's about watching these young men grow and change from the time I get to know them around the fifth grade when they're 11 and 12, all the way till they're 18-year-olds, and just seeing their bodies change, their minds change, their mentality change. And then the fun thing now is being connected to my former players after 20 years of experience and seeing them on Facebook or whatever social media they use to come back and reach out to you and tell you what's going on in their lives, and also to see what career paths that they've chosen. And they want to say how you had a part in that some way or another. It's just it's a great experience and a great opportunity, and couldn't think of anything else I'd rather do.
Guys are enjoying those hero maker stories. I love Dane's story, and in fact, it was interesting talking to him a couple of weeks ago about how some of his role has changed, you know, the last couple of months, all the kids being at home and things like that, and what he had to do as he was continuing to pour into the lives of students that he wasn't seeing on a daily basis. I was thinking about this too, just as we were singing just a few minutes ago. How special it is to be able to gather together and worship. As we've not been able to gather together in person, sometimes there's the convenience of rolling out of bed and turning on the television, or not even getting that far and just turning on the television and watching services. But I think that there is something about gathering together. And I know, you know, we've got some folks that are watching online, and as long as there's the abundance of caution and all those kinds of things happening in our world, we want you to stay safe at home if that's where you feel that you are the safest. But I think long term, there is some concern, you know, amongst pastors, like, will people just get used to staying home all the time? But I think the in-person, there's something about gathering together as followers of Jesus and lifting our voices together that's going to win out. And so for those of you that are here, I'm glad that you guys are here. And I know we're going to try to make the best of it with our family services. We've got kids in here. And so, kids, I'll try not to bore you today. Feel free to color and all that, right? You're not going to bother me at all. I'm just glad that you are here. Let me pray for us, and we'll jump into the message. Father, thanks so much for the love and the grace that you've extended to us. And like we sang, and like Wayne mentioned just a few minutes ago, Lord, I pray that you would be magnified in us. And we know that that happens as our lives are transformed, and then we begin to point other people back to you. And so, certainly, God, as we look at the circumstances of our world today, we recognize our need for you. And I pray, God, that you would be at work in us and then through us to bring about transformation in our community and in our country. Father, where there is heartache, bring peace and unity. I pray that you would do that through us. Challenge us today to live on mission for you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I want you to listen to this story. A criminal committed a crime. I mean, right? By definition, that's probably what they do. So this criminal was taken before the king to receive his punishment. And the king said to the criminal, I'll give you two choices. Either you can be hung by a rope, or you can choose what is behind this big, ominous, scary iron door. And without really even giving it much thought, the criminal said, I'll take the rope. But as he was being led to his execution, he said to the king, would you mind telling me what's behind the door? And the king chuckled a little bit, and he said, you know, I give everybody the same option, and almost without fail, everyone chooses the rope. And the criminal again said to the king, well, would you tell me what's behind the door? I mean, it's not like I'm going to tell anybody, just what's behind there? And the king paused for a minute. And then he said, freedom. But most people choose the rope because they're so afraid of the unknown, even when the rope leads to death. Last week, we did start our series of messages that we're calling Hero Maker. And so what we're doing in this series is challenging you to invest in the life of someone else intentionally to make them great. It can be several different ways to do that, but ultimately what we're hoping for is that we're pointing people to Christ or helping them to grow in their relationship with Jesus, to develop their faith a little bit more. Earlier this year, we laid out what we referred to as our table pathway. I mentioned it a little bit last week. I want to remind you of it today to kind of keep this in front of us. It's how we see growth in our church. There are four stages in the table pathway. The first is the explore phase, where maybe you're not really sure about what you believe, and so you're exploring faith, maybe exploring the church. The second phase is what we refer to as the growth phase. It's there where you're growing in your knowledge, in your understanding, growing in your faith, growing in your relationships with other people as well, because we need people to gather around us. And as we think about those first two phases, are really geared towards us. It's about what I'm learning or what I'm gaining. It's ministries that are geared toward you. But at some point, as we think about our growth as followers of Jesus, there has to be a shift that takes place where we stop focusing just on ourselves, though we always need to be growing, and we begin to think not just about what happens to me or for me or in me, but we have to begin to think about what happens through me and what God wants to do through me as well. And so that's really where the third phase kicks in. It's what we call, we refer to as the build phase. We're building the kingdom through service, serving in the church, and through generosity, being generous givers so that we can build the kingdom that way as well. But then there is one final stage, and that stage is what we refer to as the multiply phase. Because what we want to do is multiply disciple makers and leaders, and as we are able to do that, maybe God would even allow us to be a part of multiplying churches. And so this Hero Maker series, if you want to know the truth, it's really about moving us into that final stage, that final phase where we are intentionally pouring into the life of someone else to help develop their faith, grow their faith. That's what this series is all about. But I recognize as we move into that fourth phase, for a lot of people, we're moving into the unknown. There's potentially, we're asking you to do something that you've never done before, and because you've never done it before, there's a lot of fear involved. Maybe you're not really sure how to do it or if you can do it. Maybe you're afraid that you don't know enough or afraid that you're going to do something wrong. And in those moments, it's easy to kind of get stuck with what we know. And oftentimes what we know in church are ministries that are geared towards us. But don't be afraid of the big, scary iron door. Because when you walk through that door, something incredible can happen as God uses you to make a difference in the life of somebody else. In this series, I'm going to remind you kind of what we're looking at. We are looking at some hero makers in the early church in the book of Acts. And so last week we looked at our first hero maker in Acts, a man named Stephen. Stephen was the first who gave his life because of his faith in Jesus. So he's the first martyr. And last week we talked about hero maker rule number one, which is that someone needs you. So hero maker rule number one, someone needs you. Today we're going to look at hero maker rule number two. Hero maker rule number two is this, that a hero maker sees beyond what was because of the potential of what God can do. A hero maker sees beyond what was because of the potential of what God can do. Interesting thing about the hero maker that we are looking at today. It would not surprise me if most did not even know this man's name. But yet, I think probably all of us will know the person that he invested in and whose faith he developed. Because today, we're going to be looking at the hero maker, Ananias, who was the first to invest in who we know as the Apostle Paul. So if you've got a Bible with you, I want you to turn to that passage. We're going to look this morning at Acts chapter 9, and I'm going to read verses 10 through 19. So Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 19. If you don't have a Bible with you, but you got your smartphone, you can navigate your way to our live event. And there are lots of things in there that are helpful for you. There's some application questions that you can go back to later. And then there's links in there to our online bulletin, links to giving, all kinds of stuff in there. So be sure that you're utilizing that. And if you don't have a phone with you, it's going to be on the screen as I read it here just now. So Acts chapter 9, starting in verse 10. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight at the house of Judas, and look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from chief priests to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias departed and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. If you remember from our message last week, if you were here with us, or if you watched online, we talked about Stephen and the death of Stephen. He was stoned, and when he was stoned, there was a very important bystander that day. It was a man that we know at the time as Saul. Saul was there holding the coats of those who threw those stones at Stephen. At the time, Saul was a persecutor of Christians. He was a defender of the Jewish faith. He saw these teachings about Jesus as a threat to the Jewish faith. And so he wanted to do everything that he could to stop this new movement. And in fact, what we read at the beginning of Acts chapter 9 is that Saul had gone to the chief priests and gotten letters and permission to go to the synagogues in the area of Damascus. And what he would do is he would go, as he was on his way, he would look for people who followed the way, which was the way that Christianity was referred to in its infancy, dragging them out of their homes, persecuting them, and ultimately going to bring them back to Jerusalem for trial. But while he was on that road, he was blinded by a light. And from that light, he heard the voice of Jesus say, "Saul, why do you persecute me?" And it was through that experience that Saul came to believe the truth about Jesus. And it was just a miraculous conversion to Christianity. And his life was radically changed. But yet at the same time, he still had to understand more. And that's where Ananias comes in. Ananias is absolutely one of the unsung heroes or hero makers in the New Testament. Because while we all know Paul as the guy who wrote over half of the New Testament, how many of us know much at all about Ananias? But yet it was Ananias who was the first to invest and develop the faith of who we know as the Apostle Paul. It's interesting to see this section that we started with, how it begins. There was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." And Ananias simply said, "Here I am, Lord." And while what we read there is really just the introduction into everything else that happens, yet at the same time, I think it's really significant to understand this. Because Ananias, as soon as he heard the voice of God, he knew exactly who it was. The reason that he knew who it was is because he had been spending time with God, and he wanted to be guided by God in what he was doing. And so as we think about being hero makers and intentionally investing in the lives of other people and seeing beyond what was because of the potential of what God can do in someone else's life, we understand that hero makers are ultimately guided by the Lord. We don't necessarily read it in this passage, but I know it was there. The reason that Ananias knew God's voice is because he had been spending time with God, meditating on Scripture, reading the Hebrew Scripture, seeking to understand more about Jesus and all that he had done. And in his moments of prayer, he was simply praying, God, use me. So much so that when the voice of the Lord appeared to him, he heard God's voice, Ananias was simply saying, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? I'm here. Send me. I'm ready to do what you want me to do. See, hero makers are guided by the Lord. You know, we talked about our hero maker challenge last week, which was to simply be praying about who it is in three areas of our lives that God might be calling us to invest in, so that we can be the someone that someone needs in those three areas. And when we gave that challenge last week, you might have thought, well, I mean, that seems really easy. And it is simple to just pray, but yet at the same time, it's incredibly profound. And so maybe you've been praying about, over this last week, how you can be an influence at home and in the church and in your community. And it's so significant because we want to be moved by God to meet those people right where they are. And so we need God to guide us in that process, to lead us to that person that he wants us to invest in. And so Ananias, he heard the voice of the Lord and he was willing to go and do what God had called him to do. Pastor Andy Stanley, who pastors North Point Church in the Atlanta, Georgia area, he writes about five faith catalysts. And one of those faith catalysts is what he refers to as providential relationships. It's those people that God brings into our lives just at the right time to help us take those next steps in our faith. And hopefully you've had some of those providential relationships, those people who have helped you grow. And I think from the perspective of receiving that providential relationship, oftentimes it's really easy to think that they're accidental, right? How did I come across this person at just the right time? But what can seem accidental to us is purposeful and planned, and it is so by God. These are providential relationships. And I would be willing to bet this too, for those people that God has brought into your life, I bet you they've been praying, God, I want to be used by you. Help me to know where you want me to go. Hero makers guided by the Lord. Second thing that I see in Ananias' life is that a hero maker will obey regardless of where that leads. Now you got to imagine the conversation. Ananias, yes, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? Okay, here's what I want you to do, Ananias. I want you to go to Straight Street. And on Straight Street, there's a man that lives there named Judas. So you're going to go in his house, and in his house is this guy from Tarsus named Saul. And so you're supposed to go and lay hands on him so that he can regain his sight. Okay, Lord, so let's just recap this. I want to make sure I get all the details right. I'm supposed to go to Straight Street. I know where that's at. It's just down the road. And I'm supposed to find Judas's house, right? Yes, you've got it right so far. Straight Street, Judas's house. Okay, and so in Judas's house is a man named Saul of Tarsus. But my assumption is, Lord, that you're not talking about the Saul of Tarsus that I know. It's the other Saul of Tarsus, right? Because I know about the bad guy, and like we're not going to mess with him. It must be somebody else. No, Ananias, it is that guy. It's the one you've heard about. Are you sure? I want to make sure that I get, yes, I'm sure. Go lay hands on him so that he can receive his sight and receive the Holy Spirit. And incredibly, it simply says, and Ananias departed. I don't know about you. If that were me, and God said, I want you to go talk to that guy who's been doing all kinds of evil, persecuting Christians, and you knew that, I'm saying, Lord, find somebody else. I'm not going to go get involved in that. Or I would try to convince myself that this feeling that I felt or this voice that I heard was not from God, it was something else. And the reason that I would do that is because of fear. But real hero makers will obey the Lord regardless of where that leads. And I'll just tell you, I think it's incredible to hear some of the stories of people who obey God. To hear the stories of people who really will risk a lot to do what God is leading them to do. Because to me, those are the real hero makers. This summer, I have the opportunity to teach a class through Dallas Seminary. And one of the students in the class is a guy named Peter. Peter's Korean. In fact, was a part of the Korean Special Forces. And so Peter is, a sharp guy. He's really smart, really talented. And Peter currently serves as a missionary in Papua, Indonesia. Some of you are thinking, where is that? That's the point. Peter, because he is following God's lead in his life, is ministering off the grid to a group of people who have never heard the gospel. He is without what most of us would consider to be essential things for survival. He's put all of those aside to do what God has led him to do because he wants to be a hero maker. In our own church, I greatly admire Craig and Jennifer Alsop. If you guys don't know the Alsops, they're missionaries with Mana Worldwide. And Craig, when there is not a global pandemic going on, usually spends about 45 Sundays a year on the road visiting churches. He's raising support so that kids in Asia and around the world can be fed, and then as they're being fed, they can hear the truth about Jesus. And when he's not at other churches trying to raise money to be able to do that, he is taking people with him to these different places and locations so that what happened to him can happen to us and we can be moved by God in significant ways as well. And so Craig and Jennifer, years ago, gave up good jobs with a paycheck to raise their own money to do what God has led them to do because they want to be hero makers. Now, it doesn't mean that to be a hero maker, we have to go to some foreign mission field, but it absolutely means we need to be open to being guided by God to do what he wants us to do, to be led by him to go where he wants us to go, regardless of what it costs us. To be willing to engage in conversations that might scare us a little bit, to have those faith conversations with people where we're not really sure where they're going to go, where we're not really sure that we have the answers. If that's where God leads us. Hero makers are guided by the Lord and they will obey regardless of where that leads. And the last thing that I see in Ananias' life is that a hero maker sees the potential of what God can do. Ananias simply left and went and did what God told him to do. He went and laid his hands on Saul. He received his sight, received the Holy Spirit. I think there's probably more to it than just that, too. I don't think it was just a 5-minute in and out. I think there was a lot that was happening as Ananias was helping Paul to understand a little bit more of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. We don't read it in the text, but there is something that we do read that I think is really, really significant. And that is the way in which Ananias first addressed Saul. He called him brother. Now you got to understand how significant this was. Because when Saul came to faith in Christ, he was a persecutor of Christians. That's his circle. Those were his friends, other people who were also persecuting Christians. And so Saul knew when he came to faith in Christ, he was going to be ostracized from all of those relationships. And at the same time, because of who he was and what he had done, he is wondering in the back of his mind, will I ever be accepted in this new community? And so the very first word that he heard from a fellow follower of Jesus was the word brother. It was Ananias identifying Paul, not according to who he was, but who he was now in Christ. In some way, what Ananias was doing was identifying Paul's potential, seeing past what was, and seeing what God could do. And you know this had to be profoundly influential in Paul's life. Because where he is wondering whether or not he's ever going to fit in, the first thing that he hears is the word brother. Not what he was, but what he was becoming. And those conversations where someone identifies our potential, we could look at and we could refer to as I see in you conversations. I hope that throughout the course of your life, you have had several I see in you conversations. Where just at the right time, God brought someone into your life and maybe you literally heard the words from someone else, I see this in you. Maybe it's a little bit less literal than that. Maybe it was just somebody who came to you and said, I want you to do this because I think you would be really good at it. Or just somebody giving you a compliment at the right time, identifying something in you. You know how significant those conversations are. Because there are times we begin to doubt our own abilities and we begin to question, can we even do this thing? And it's in those moments that we remember, well, somebody at some point identified something positive in me, and that's what I'm going to hold on to. And I just wonder if that was the case in Paul's life. We know he went through a lot of ups and downs in his life. He faced suffering and persecution, and I just wonder if he sometimes thought back to that very first conversation. When he wasn't sure where he was going to fit, and Ananias walked into the room and simply said, you're my brother. You are a part of this new community. And in those moments where Paul was doubting what was happening in his life, did he think, I'm not who I was. I'm who God is making me to be. Hero Maker sees beyond what was because of the potential of what God can do. So here is your Hero Maker challenge for this week. I want you to have some I see in you conversations. I want you to have an I see in you conversation with somebody at home. Maybe if you're a parent, you just sit down with your kids and say, I see this in you, and you just affirm something positive in them. If it's a character quality, something that they're good at, sit down with them and say, I see this in you. As you think about at church, think about maybe people that you're serving with in ministry, serving alongside of, or somebody that's a part of your small group or something, and maybe you want to write them a note and say, hey, thanks for this because I see this in you. And again, it is a positive quality that you see in them. And maybe in your community, you can find ways to affirm other people and say, I see this in you. Because you never know how God's going to use those conversations and the difference that they're going to make down the road. Now, I know that for some of you, I'm asking you to do something that is absolutely unknown, and it scares you to death. Don't get stuck in what's known. Walk through the big, scary iron door, because when you do, it will unlock something significant in someone else's life. A hero maker sees beyond what was because of the potential of what God can do. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would continue to guide us to the people that you have placed in our lives for us to invest in. And as we're guided by you this week, may we be able to have some I see in you conversations. God, give us the courage to be able to affirm positive qualities in the life of someone else. And may you use that to make a tremendous difference in their lives. God, thanks for the people that you've brought into our lives and helped develop our faith. May we think about the influence that they had on us. And God, use us to do what they have done for us. Use us to do that in the lives of other people. Sometimes the unknown is scary, but Father, give us the courage to be hero makers, to take what we have and invest it in the lives of other people to make them great, to bring them to you, to help them to grow in their faith. God, we want to be guided by you. We want to be used by you, and may we continue to pray that prayer every single day. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.